This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable. Welcome to episode 186 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. I'm your host, Holly Line, and this week I'm giving you my rundown of London Book Fair. But first, it's accountability time for me because I wasn't able to be on the show last week. So I feel like a broken record because every month I comment on how quickly time is passing. You'd think I would have gotten used to this by now, but no, apparently not. So last month I said that I was going to get the second edition of Goal Setting for Writers done by mid-April and then take the rest of the month off. That didn't happen, but I feel as though fate conspired to slow me down on purpose because I was really inspired at London Book Fair and will be shifting my plan for Goal Setting for Writers slightly. More on that shortly. I also haven't really taken time off, not completely. Right after getting back from London, I had a weekend of live music events for myself and my eldest son, and then Monday was its usual hectic self, so I didn't get a chance to stop until Tuesday, aside from the fact that I did fall asleep on the sofa on Saturday afternoon. But yeah, I have been taking it a bit easier than normal for the last few days, but I'm still chipping away at things because there's no rest for the wicked, and London Book Fair did give me all the ideas. So May is going to be fiction first. I have other things I do need to keep working on, but I'm aiming to finish the first draft of book one of Shifters of London this month. So I will be prioritising writing fiction, something I haven't really done since I finished The Power of Blood late last year. So yeah, with that in mind, I'm going to be hosting writing sprint sessions throughout the month for my patrons, and I will also give access to patrons of this podcast. So if you want some company and accountability to meet your writing goals in May, check out the show notes for the link or head to patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. Speaking of Patreon, we have no new patrons this month, but as always, a great big thank you to all of our patrons who sponsor the show. We appreciate all of your support so, so very much. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive access to our off-air banter, and the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting the show. You can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. And if you would like to get a sneak peek at what Julia is going to be working on, the notorious Christmas Cats in Space book, one of our patrons, Brett, has kindly written a synopsis, and it's there on the Patreon as a comment on a recent post. So if you become a patron, you can check out recent posts and find that, and you'll get the inside scoop. Our monthly sessions of Sprints and Giggles are open to all of our listeners. It's an evening on which we do writing sprints, answer questions, and boy do we have a laugh. If you'd like to join in, you just need to be subscribed to our newsletter or be a member of our Facebook group, as that is where we share the link. So go check out the show notes for the links to join those things. Okay, onto our main topic. So as I record this, it's just over a week since I got back from London, so I've had a little bit of time to reflect on the book fair, and these are my thoughts. Actually, they haven't changed that much since I got back. First of all, the main highlight, the main reason that I went was to meet up with friends, which I did, and I spent so much time with some really, really wonderful people, including Shane Miller, who has been on this show and is one of our patrons, Sasha Black, and a whole bunch of other wonderful, wonderful people, and we had so much fun. And I made some new connections with some great people, watched this space for an upcoming interview, yeah, that was really, really positive. And that was my main reason for wanting to go. Initially, I booked a hotel without even having a ticket for the conference. And I was thinking, I'll go and hang out kind of, you know, in the pub outside the venue with my friends. And I wasn't that bothered about going in, but I did manage to scoop a free ticket. So I thought, well, I may as well go in and check it out. So yeah, my main reason for going was to socialise, really, and I did a lot of that, and it was really, really great. Also, all the walking, oh my good God. I like hit my step target for the entire month in the 3.5 days that I was there. Just saying. So yeah, I also, because I'm writing a book set in London, a series set in London, I did also want to do a bit of location scouting. So I did that. Shane and Julia kindly tagged along while I dragged them around Shepherd's Bush in Kensington. So yeah, that was really good and sparked some really lovely ideas. So in Kensington Gardens, there's this tree locked away behind a fence, and it's all been like ornately carved with little figures, so it's like little elves and stuff living inside this tree, and there's a hollowed out part in the base of the trunk, and it's like, oh, that's so a portal to another realm, you know, like, yeah. So I was really inspired by that. And also at Shepherd's Bush Green, as we arrived, there were these two guys sat on the grass drumming on, you know, these like fantastic drums, and that was like so fortuitous, because in my book, the pack of shifters that claim that area are called the Drummers. So I was like, that is like kismet or something. So yeah, loads of really lovely ideas, and it was great to go to where my book is set and get a feel for the place, to, you know, feel the buzz and the energy, because there's only so much you can get just from looking at photos, you know. So that was really, really valuable. So, the conference itself. So, London Book Fair is at the Kensington Olympia. It's a huge, huge conference venue. And honestly, the layout is really confusing. There are these two great big halls, and they've got galleries around the top, and like all these other little rooms off to the side and stuff. And it's quite confusing, and they don't hand out maps. And there are maps around the place, but they're generic. They're like installed and they're all the time for every conference. So there's no like, you know, nothing specific on there to the conference itself. So you know, there'll be an arrow saying you are here, and you look around and you're like, yeah, but like, which direction is that? You know, it's really not helpful. And I spent most of the time I was in there lost, to be honest, and just relying on other people that I was with to get me where I needed to go. So yeah, it's a confusing layout, not great, to be honest, and very, very overwhelming. There's just so much. There are so many exhibitors and so many people. It's a lot. So introverts, be warned. I'm not saying don't go, but be prepared for what it is. Also, I got there quite late on the first day because I only travelled down to London on the Tuesday. So I got there in the afternoon, and they didn't have any laminates left to put tickets into. So get there early if you want one. Luckily, I went in again on the Wednesday and they had more, so I was able to get one then. But if you want a laminate, get there early. So Wednesday is the big day. It's the day that most people show up. Most people who are only going to go for one day go on the Wednesday. So there's more people, more panels. Everything is just extra. And the venue was really, really packed. And Wednesday is also the day that the Alliance of Independent Authors typically have their drinks, their sort of party in the evening. So, and that really was a major highlight for me, the Ally drinks. It was so, so good, so valuable. I met some fantastic people, got chatting to various members of Ally. So that's a really, really good opportunity for networking, and just hanging out with your friends. And it's an open bar, just saying, if that's your thing. So yeah, the Ally drinks was really worth it, and Wednesday was epic, and the panels that I went to on the Wednesday were by far the most valuable ones. So, yeah, the whole thing is very, very trad focused. It's the exhibitors are generally agents, publishers, distributors, you know, industry people. It's very publishing industry centric. And there isn't an entire area for translation rights. So if you are interested in perhaps getting an agent and selling those specific rights, that could be a really, really good use of your time at London Book Fair. And they do have panel discussions and stuff as well. There's a lot on translation. Also illustration, children's books, that kind of thing. So there's definitely loads of value for some indie authors, depending on what you're interested in. But generally, it's much more focused on traditional publishing. The panels were of limited value to me personally, but I think they would be great for newer authors and anyone wanting to be traditionally published. The first panel that I went to right after I arrived on the Tuesday afternoon was on creating writing communities, and that was almost entirely pointless for me. It was very much about running events, really, rather than creating communities. And honestly, some of the panelists were a bit pretentious, and it wasn't quite what I was expecting, and I didn't get a lot out of that. But on the Wednesday, there were some really good panels, and I'm not going to go through and list all of the panels that I went to, which was only a tiny proportion of the total number of panels, because they have all these different areas around the venue with different talks going on at the same time. You're never going to get to see everything. There is so, so much to do. So I would strongly suggest, if you're interested in going in the future, look at the schedule ahead and plan, make a plan, which is what I did. I picked out the things I really wanted to go to, and I printed out an itinerary, because, you know, this is me we're talking about. So I knew exactly what I wanted to do, but I still managed to miss things. So on the Wednesday afternoon, there was a whole group of us, and we'd all been camped out in this one area, which I'll talk about in a sec. And we'd watched a bunch of panels, and then we're like, right, should we go to the pub? And we all left, and I only realised, I think it was the next day or late that day, I realised there was a panel I had really wanted to see in the afternoon in a different area. And because it was in a different area to where we'd been all morning, it had slipped my mind. And there was someone else in the group who wanted to go to that as well, and we both missed it. So, yeah, keep your itinerary in mind when you're when you're there and looking at what you want to do, and remember that there are things going on in other parts of the venue as well. So this area that we were sort of camped out in for most of the 3 days was Author HQ, which was hidden away at the back of the children's section, which I found slightly ironic, but it did mean we got to hang out on this bright pink carpet for 3 days, which was quite fun. But yeah, the Author HQ is kind of a hub, really, for authors of all stripes. But those of us, you know, all the friends that I had that we'd arranged to meet there, you know, all sort of indie authors, it was the place to be. Everything that was even vaguely aimed at us was happening at Author HQ. And KDP had a stand right next to Author HQ, which is obviously not a coincidence. And they hosted several panels. So, you know, there was stuff for indie authors. I do want to be clear. It's not like there was absolutely nothing. And what there was pretty much all at Author HQ. And there was a lot of socialising to be had there as well. There, generally across the whole conference, really isn't much for wide. It is still, like you'd expect, really, the sort of the publishing industry likes to pretend we're not real and try to ignore the success that indie authors are having, because it undermines their business model at the end of the day. So they don't really want to admit that indie publishing is a thing, and that it is that people can be incredibly successful doing it. But there were a couple of things. So there was a panel focused on print, which was hosted by Book Vault, and Joanna Penn was on that panel as well. And that was really exciting. That really got me fired up and inspired. And also Book Vault's stand was also right next to Author HQ. And yeah, listening to that talk changed my plan for goal setting for writers. So before going, I had intended to get through all my edits and get it sort of quickly and fairly quietly published. I wasn't going to do a great big launch or anything, but just push out the updates before I went away. But it didn't happen, and I'm so glad it didn't, because Julia already knows. It's all right, she's already threatened to kill me, because as my formatter, this involves her. So yeah, I'm not just doing an edit, I'm actually going to produce a new version of the book. So the ebook will just have the update pushed to it, that'll be the same, but the print book, there's now going to be two versions. And some people already do this. Sasha Black does this. She does a textbook and a workbook. And that is what I'm going to be doing, using Book Vault. So for those who don't know, Book Vault is a print-on-demand service. It's kind of the new kid on the block, even though they have actually been around for a long time, but they've suddenly become much more prominent. And the main thing they offer over KDP Print or Ingram Spark is a choice in paper. So you can get different quality paper depending on what kind of book you're publishing. So if for instance, you are a children's author and you want to do beautiful print, you know, illustrated books on glossy paper, Book Vault can do that for you. If you want to do limited edition, hardback, leather bound with gold foil print, Book Vault can do that for you. So all of these options that we didn't previously have, we do now. And that is incredibly exciting for me. And one of the things they do, one of the options is they do a spiral bound, lay flat workbook style of print book, which is absolutely perfect. My current paperback of Goal Setting for Writers is a workbook. It has spaces to write in, but it's just a regular paperback. And I know people, myself included, do not want to break the spines of books like that. So yeah, this barrel bound lay flat workbook is a dream come true. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I will be asking Julia very kindly and paying her to reformat Goal Setting for Writers and do two versions, a textbook and a workbook. So yeah, I'm actually really glad I didn't manage to do that before I went, because now I have a much better plan, which is very exciting. And I, you know, I've always wanted to do like limited edition hardbacks of my fiction, and so now I'm getting all the juicy ideas for that. So I mean, not this year, maybe next year, but yeah. And so yeah, the hot topic for the whole conference basically was AI. It was what everyone on the conference floor was talking about, and particularly those fresh from 20 Books in Seville, which was the previous week, because it was the hot topic there as well. And yeah, so you may or may not have heard Michael Anderley, who is quite a big name in the indie publishing world. He has announced that he is going to publish 10,000 AI written books this year. I'll just let that sit for a moment while you take it in. Yeah, 10,000 books. There was mixed response to this, but there was a response. Everyone was talking about it. And a lot of people are gravely concerned about AI and what it's going to mean for the future of our industry. People are understandably worried about human authors being replaced basically by machines. And it did come up on some of the panels. There were no panels specifically about it, although next year I suspect there will be. But it did come up in questions a few times, and there was one panel in particular which was kind of related to it, which was tech-powered authors and the future of publishing. And sitting on that panel were Ethan Ellenberg, who is a literary agent, Joanna Penn, and Orna Ross, who is the founder and director of the Alliance of Independent Authors. And they talked about AI quite a bit. They talked about obviously technology in general, but AI was the main thing people wanted to know about. And they were very, very positive about it. And I've come away from that quite reassured, because I was very cynical about AI. I had started using ChatGPT in March after a coaching session with one of my coaches, who was really reassuring about it as well. And, you know, so I'd started using it for just like coming up with email subjects, you know, like the little sort of torturous things. We all have them, the little things that we just really don't like doing, or we find really hard and take up far more time than we really need. And something like ChatGPT can really help with that. It can help speed up the process. And so I had started to embrace it for that anyway. But this panel did reassure me about the fiction writing side, because with Michael Andelay's commitment to going AI, and obviously other people have already started publishing AI written books, and there is concern about the quality of that. And, you know, if people can just churn out 10,000 books in a year written by a machine, what is going to happen to the rest of us? Will there still be a place for us? And there absolutely will be, because the technology is certainly not there yet, and probably never will be, to properly emulate emotion. And, you know, for stories that are, that have that depth of emotion that a lot of readers need, AI is never gonna crack that. You know, you're still, yeah, it's, I think for certain genres it could work quite well, but for the less formulaic genres, for the more in-depth ones, I don't think, we're certainly not anywhere near that yet. But people will always want human created art. They always will. It might become more of a niche thing, and we might have to rise to the challenge a bit of overcoming an increased difficulty and discoverability. But there will always be a place for us. There will always be readers who only want human created books. We're already seeing that. The sort of backlash, you know, publicly is people don't want books written by robots. And we've seen it in the audiobook market, which I know Julia spoke about on her last solo episode with her guest. People can tell when it's a computer-generated voice and they don't like it. I certainly don't. In fact, I've had audiobooks. I've never really got into them, because some of the ones I've picked up, it's been a human narrator, but it still sounds too robotic for me. I obviously haven't found the right narrators, because that's certainly not universally true. But, you know an AI voice when you hear one. You know, they do a good job of sort of emulating a natural sounding voice, but it's not quite there. You know, you can still tell that it's not a human voice. So yeah, I'm not as concerned as I was. And Ethan Ellenberg made the absolutely excellent point that there's already a lot of rubbish out there. You already have to work to be seen amongst all the dross, so nothing's actually going to change. The proportion of rubbish might increase, but not so much that, you know, it's going to be impossible to overcome. And Joanna Penn has coined a new term. I'm not sure it'll catch on, because it's a bit of a mouthful, but AI assisted artisan author. And I quite like that. I like the artisan part. It's that using AI to help create stories, but still having creative input. And she emphasised this in that talk, that she might be using AI to generate some of the words, but she will be, you know, curating it, and editing it, and refining it herself. So I think that's really important. I think as long as we keep in mind that AI is a tool to assist us, it can't completely replace us. And I'm quite excited about the idea of having an, you know, AI assistant, although I obviously have no desire to put actual real assistants out of business. There'll always be a place for them as well, but not everyone can afford one. You know, I have had a VA in the past. I don't currently, because I can't justify the cost. But if I had an AI that could, you know, schedule my appointments for me and, you know, upload my social media posts for me. I mean, people are already using tools like this, you know, things like Tailwind and other social media scheduling apps. You know, it's no different. And Grammarly, Pro Writing Aid, these tools are, you know, fairly simple forms of AI that we're already using. Almost everyone is using some form of AI already. So it's just an extension of that. So yeah, my attitude has shifted from really quite cynical to fairly enthusiastic, just with a little caution as well, because, you know, I can't erase the fact that I've seen Terminator and The Matrix more times than I can count, right? So there is still some, we need to make sure we keep AI in its place. And it could make life more difficult for discoverability. You know, that remains to be seen. But I am excited about the opportunities that AI creates for us. And I am going to be using AI to help me with my fiction, for some of my fiction, not everything. But I have so many books, so many ideas that I want to write, and limited time. And if AI can help to speed up the process, then I'm all for that. So my biggest takeaway from London Book Fair generally was that it is absolutely fantastic for socialising and networking, but the fair itself didn't deliver great value for me personally. I think in the future I would probably only attend on the Wednesday, and only if I have free entry again. And I would also stay with a friend rather than paying for a very expensive hotel. Shane and I stayed at a hotel quite near the venue for convenience, and you know, it was fine, but they were having renovation work done and stuff, so it wasn't the best hotel, so that made the whole trip more expensive than it really needed to be. So I would definitely look at ways to economize in the future. So yeah, that's pretty much my take on London Book Fair. So great for the socialising, not so great for the fair itself, for me, for where I am right now. But it is absolutely brilliant for all sorts of other indie authors and industry people. So I would really love to know if you have attended London Book Fair this year or in the past. Please come and share your thoughts in the Facebook group, or if you listen on Spotify, one of the features on there now is a Q&A section. So go and check out the Q&A on Spotify. I will put this question in there and you can leave your answer there. So that's it from me for today. Remember that if you want to join us for Sprints and Giggles, just sign up for our newsletter or visit our Facebook group, and I will put links to both of those in the show notes. If you'd like to go a step further and support the show financially, you can do so at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. And remember that if you do that this month, you will also get access to twice weekly writing sprint sessions with me. And please do take a moment to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.